Welcome to Perfectly Sane Show, episode 636. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
I'd like to thank all of our listeners for coming. Barbecue's on me, guys. It's on me.
Tony, where'd you go? Earl is here.
I would thank one Mr. Jeff Joey for all that he's done for us in the gaming industry. Thank you, Jeff.
Well, that's nice that you got there. I mean, he did put Summer Games Fest on for everybody. So. Jeff is here as well.
Hello.
One day we're going to get Jeff with.
Jeff's going to say something more than hi.
That's right. One day.
He did. He had that the one time he had something and we spoiled it. And
we ruined it.
Now he just doesn't want to play along with it anymore.
And there was another time a few months ago when I said exactly what he was going to say. I ruined it for him.
Summer Games Fest continued this week with the Xbox Showcase, Ubisoft Showcase. Capcom had something. I don't know.
Showcase as well.
Yeah, there was some other stuff in there. But I think the big ones were definitely like Capcom and Ubisoft. Not Capcom, but Xbox and Ubisoft. They're different. And then the Starfield.
Which is part of the Xbox one.
Yeah.
It was a very weird structure with that. Mostly just because it was like, oh, yes, we're just going to attach this 45 minutes thing and then have the chosen montage at the end of that. So.
Yeah, it was really weird because one, they announced it beforehand that like, oh, we're doing an Xbox Bethesda showcase and then Starfield's going to have its own thing direct, like maybe not directly after, but it's going to have its own thing that day. And then the way they presented it was, and one more thing.
Yeah, it was the weirdest one more thing because I'm like, wait, why didn't you end with this then and then parlay this into the end of the show instead of being like, because it's like halfway through where they showed off the Starfield and then they had the Starfield direct like half an hour later.
Yeah. But yeah, the Xbox kicked off, they re-revealed Fable. I mean, it had already been revealed that Fable was coming, but this was an actual trailer. And immediately I thought they have broken their word there that they're
not doing CG trailers.
This looked very much like a CG trailer. Did say it was all in engine, but it very much looked like it was not gameplay.
They were very, very curt with that language because it's like, yes, it's not CG, but it's in game. But I'm like, it's not gameplay.
Yeah, this is just you guys playing around with your engine. I don't really know what it looks like. Like, it has a Fable vibe to it for sure, but
it's yes,
more realistic, I think, as well.
Is it because you're a mini person?
Well, yeah. So that was visually, like, you know, they were more cartoony they were on the 360, so. Visuals have improved in the 15 years since the last Fable game. So I don't know. What do you guys think of Fable?
I don't know what to think.
It's fair.
It is what it is, but this was kind of, I think, part of the sticking point for the early parts of the Microsoft show was like, oh, we're going to do this thing where we're going to show you something. We're not going to show you what type of game it is or anything. We're just going to have to trust us.
They did that a couple times, yeah. No target on this either. It didn't say it was 2024.
Just
Tears Fable.
Yeah, I think it's way far off.
Yeah. Yeah, because the other big game they showed was Avowed, And I mean, that showed some gameplay, like there's stuff going on in that world is built out a bit, and that's coming in 2024. So I know you were waiting for that one, Jeff.
Yeah, it looked cool to me.
Were you a little taken aback by it's not a full open world? It's going to be more like the Outer Worlds, where there's like zones that you, like missions take place in. Like you just, it's not Skyrim. You can't just walk all the way across the map. Like,
yeah, it is weird that, I don't know. I guess they're doing smaller games, but, I don't know. It still looks fun.
Yeah, I mean, it was Outer Worlds, right? That's the one they did. I mean, that was like a 25-hour game. Like, doesn't mean this isn't going to be big. It's just they have a different structure than it looks like a Skyrim type game, like an Elder Scrolls type game, but they seem like they've stumbled into a different structure for them. So,
yeah, I mean, I don't know. They look fun to me.
And bears with mushrooms on them.
I think people were also like, kind of surprised by the art style, because I guess it looked different than when they first showed it. Like, it looks like a little more cartoony. I think it looks cool, though. I don't know.
Wait, which one is this?
Avowed.
The
Obsidian RPG.
Yeah, no, I remember. I just, it did not register for me. And that's probably on me. I think that, not a complaint, but they showed a lot of, like, Western RPGs. Because it was Starfield, and I think there was one or two more.
It's a good thing.
I mean that's who they bought, right? Like, they bought those studios up. They have the powerhouses in that type of
yeah. That genre. That is what you would expect after they purchased them. So,
Cyberpunk 2077 was also shown. I guess there's a expansion for that coming. Soonish, too, very soon.
Yeah, end of this month, is it?
Or September, but it's still only 3 months away. Let's see what else we have. We'll get to Starfield in a minute. Compulsion Games showed off South of Midnight. This was another
one where it's like they shut off the game, and I'm just like, I don't know what this game is.
Yeah, it was like a cool trailer. There's a guy on like a dock playing a guitar.
Oh yeah, I had zero idea what the fuck that was.
But yeah, like I don't know what kind of game it is. Like the girl just comes up, she's looking for a monster. Monster appears behind him, and then it cuts to black. Like
that was in my opinion, a dumb trailer. There was another trailer that was super boring. It was so boring that we were talking about how boring it was before it was over. What's that game? It's like a sequel. I think people are looking forward to this game, but the trailer was just like a chick looking at water and there's whispers and shit. And
oh, Hellblade 2. Yeah. It was an awful trailer.
It's like, dude, you're putting me to sleep. Like, they should have gameplay for that, shouldn't they? Like,
yeah, I mean, we've known about Hellblade 2 for like 4 years now, so. Let's see what else. They showed off the new Like a Dragon game. That was a funny trailer. It was all CG, but it was
I was confused, or maybe not confused, because they showed that off at Summer Game Fest too, didn't they? Or somebody showed it off recently. Or is that a different one?
There's two Like a Dragon games. This is the
okay.
Yeah, the Like a Dragon. So Yakuza, which is what we know the series by, changed their name with the last game. Was it 6 or 7? 7. It changed to Like a Dragon. Like the franchise has moved from Yakuza to that, which is what it's called in Japan. And Infinite Wealth is the next game in that. But then there's also another Like a Dragon game that I think was shown off at either the Sony thing or Summer Games Fest. Different timeline, different characters. But yeah, this is a sequel to whatever the last game was with the guy with the big hair. And that looks fun. It was a goofy trailer. you know, he wakes up naked on the beach. Mm-hmm. They're just blocking his crotch out for the rest of the trailer.
Yes, it's one of the Austin Power gags.
Yeah. They revealed Persona 3 Reload, which is a remake of 3.
Yes.
Which is weird because they just released 3 on,
yes, on Xbox. Yes, they did. They released it on everything last year, start of last year.
Yeah.
And yes, it's one of those things which is whatever we all joke about. But like, yes, it is. Like Microsoft announced it and then it was an exclusive for. It's coming out on Persona 3, as far as I know, is coming out on Xbox, PlayStation, and Steam. And then they announced Persona 5 Tactica.
Yes.
Which is coming out on those, just the Switch. So.
And that looks like a Mario and Rabbids type tactical game. It's like grid based, you move your guy around, like XCOM ish. And that takes place in the Persona 5 world. Jeff got his Rare game.
Did he? Because, I mean, Sea of Thieves update is still Sea of Thieves update. I swear, it's the only game they've made in the past however long they've made games.
Yeah. They're doing a Monkey Island crossover. Smart crossover, I guess. None of us are Sea of Thieves players, so.
Yeah.
Although that game seemingly doing real well for Microsoft. People are really into that.
Someone must be playing it.
Yeah.
Somewhere.
Like they're still, like, they consistently update it, and they're doing, like, big expansions like this. They did a Pirates of the Caribbean one not too long ago. Like, they're still partnering. People are playing it. It's been out forever, because I remember we played it when it came out with Fozzie. For a hot minute, like literally, we played it once and never returned to it.
I honestly still don't know. Not what it. I don't know. I keep on trying to get into it, and I just never love it. Because like they've had interesting DLC before too. Because they had the Pirates of the Caribbean one as well.
Yeah, yeah.
And every time I'm like, oh, this is really fun, and I played a game for like half an hour, I'm like, I don't enjoy this.
I think I was where I said, like, I should like it. I like pirates. I like, you know, ship stuff. I like adventure games, but none of it clicks for me.
Yeah, it is so weird.
Microsoft Flight Sim 2024 coming. This is not, it's not like an expansion to Flight Sim that's out now. It is a whole new game. And it looks like it has more game to it this time. They showed a bunch of different jobs you can do, search and rescue. Yeah,
that is really fun. Like, yeah, search and rescue, and makes me think of The Rock in San Andreas.
The Rock,
San Andreas, when he's the
you know, that really famous movie that everyone likes, San Andreas.
I like San Andreas. It was fun. It's goofy. It's fun.
Yeah, I don't think it's a great movie, but it's a fun movie.
He is a helicopter pilot in that, right?
Like, yeah. But yeah, he's a rescue pilot.
Yeah.
It looks cool, and I know people are excited about it, but there's no way I'm learning how to fly a plane again. That was just way too much work. I do not remember how to.
And not associated with 2024... is they're bringing the I can't think of the name of it, but it's the kind of plane helicopter thing from Dune. It's like a mosquito, like that type of vehicle, and they're bringing that to Flight Sim in November alongside the movie. And the I guess it'll be its own kind of thing where you can explore the world that, you know, that takes place in. There'll be objectives to do. That's neat. But yeah, Jeff, I don't know if I'm back into trying to figure out how to fly again.
It was a lot of like learning, you know what I mean? Like, it was a lot.
You have to commit yourself to cool. it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But I just don't know if I can do it again.
Come sail away with me.
Atlantic City's coming to Fallout 76.
Great. What a terrible place.
Yeah, I am interested in seeing it like visualized in Fallout, though, so I might actually try to go at 76 more than I have. Jeff, you got into 76 a bit last year.
Yeah, it's cool. Yeah. I like it. It's good now.
Okay. I'm into giving it a shot, seeing what happens out of that. Something called Path of the Goddess they showed. I think this is
Capcom, because they showed that at their thing too.
Yeah, well, and this was one I think people were like, oh, is this like a new Monster Hunter game? And it's not. I don't know what it is. That trailer did nothing for me, but it was pretty. Like, it was very colorful.
What happens when you don't show gameplay? I don't know what to think of it.
Yeah.
What's gameplay?
You don't need gameplay.
There was a game called Still Wakes the Deep, which is coming from the Chinese Room. They do walking sims. But this looked like a little bit more action-oriented. Like, they were jumping in it, and there looked like there might be a monster chasing them through the... It takes place on, like, an oil rig or something like that. Looked neat. And then there was one, Jeff, you and Earl were kind of like, this looks kind of cool, Dungeons of Hinterberg?
Yes. I don't remember the name. I don't, but yeah, that game looked really fun. And different, and that showed gameplay.
Oh, it did. So I think I missed that because I was looking at the other. It was like I was rewinding and looking at the other one, or it's also happening all while I was working. So
yeah. I mean, they could have. Well, no, I was gonna say they could have picked better time, but it was Sunday. So
yeah, this was on Sunday. So that was the Ubisoft and the other Xbox thing. So I just blacked out. Then I was looking at something else.
Dungeons of Hinterberg looks awesome to me, man. Like, it, like, the art style is cool, and it looks like, you know, like, some of it is, like, 3D platforming, and some of it is, like, top-down dungeon crawling type shit. Like, I don't know, whatever it is, I'm in on that.
It has, like, that animation look to it, right? Like, hand-drawn. Okay.
Yeah.
I'll check out a trailer for it. I did not pay attention to it when the show was on.
I think you'll be pleased.
City Skyline 2 coming. It's coming to Game Pass too. Very pretty. I make the worst cities though, so
yeah. But the price is right.
Can't learn
the price is right. You're right. Yeah, I can't learn these games.
They're complicated. I mean,
I just want to build shit and like. And this looks like you can, like, go 3D and, like, explore your town that way. That's all I really want to do. But this, like, I know the cities, the first City Skyline required you to, like, do, you know, you were doing city planning. Like, you were traffic and sewers. Wait, and
it's too hard.
It's like SimCity, but blown up, like, times 10.
That's what I thought the whole time I was watching the trailer.
SimCity at first too. I was like, I've heard of it, but I've never played it. But yeah, that was very much me. I'm like, oh, this is a new Sim. Oh, it's not a new SimCity.
I was like, oh yeah, there was that other game that's basically SimCity. Yeah,
Tony, you played the first one, right?
Yeah, no, and it is. It's very, very SimCity-ish. It also had a ton of expansions, which kind of make me wonder if this is the same way. Because I'm not wild about, like, the first game was missing content, I think.
Mm. Yeah, and that would suck if, like, you release, like, a whole new game, but, like, you've taken away stuff that people got used to in that first one. Like,
yeah.
Like, that stuff should be in there. And then add new stuff later, but... One that Sean and I thought looked pretty good is a game called Jusant. It's coming from Don't Nod. It's like a climbing game.
Oh yeah, it looked all right.
It does have like that little kind of abstract visual style to its characters, like where there's not a lot of feature to them, but Yeah, I thought that one looked neat. And then what everybody thought was like a BioShock ripoff, Clockwork Revolution from In Exile.
Oh, yeah.
It was so... It's so BioShock that, like, I thought it just was BioShock. I was like, oh, they're bringing back BioShock. Cool. And, like, and it's like, what is it called? Clockwork? Whatever.
Clockwork Revolution. Somebody that did, that worked on the trailer for BioShock Infinite actually was like, they're definitely trying to invoke, like, a lot of that original trailer because, like, here are almost direct images of that. So. I don't know. I'm into it.
Yeah.
It's another, you know, In Exile makes RPGs. BioShock's more of an action game, so I don't know how this is going to play out, but...
A bit.
Yep. And then Metaphor. I think there's more to that name, but Metaphor is the RPG from the Persona people. But it's like a fantasy... Like
Metaphor. I mean, to be fair, okay, not to be fair. Like I said, I can't, like, oh, this is Shin Megami Tensei. For, like, this is Defy Atlas.
Yeah, yeah. 100%. Oh, and they showed Payday 3. That looked terrible.
Yeah. Oh, no.
I'm still not over. I'm still, Payday's not terrible, but I'm still so mad at how they treated Payday 2 on on consoles. Where they were basically like, oh, yeah, we're just going to stop supporting it. We're not going to give you any of the updates that like the PC gamers got. And I'm like, oh, you have such a bad taste in my mouth. And you want me to come back and support you again?
Is it the same? So I remember, wasn't Payday by, for some reason, I want to say it was Vin Diesel's game studio, Starbreeze. Yeah, so he was associated with them in some way.
I was going to say, I didn't know Vin Diesel owned the game studio.
No, but he was associated with them, I think.
I mean, it wouldn't surprise me because he's a mega nerd, which isn't a negative. I'm just like...
And they made the two Chronicles of Riddick games. That might be... I mean, that would be why he would be associated with them. They are not making Payday 3. So I don't know who is making Payday 3. So it's not the same studio, so you can feel fine supporting them, Earl. Although I thought that trailer looked terrible.
It did not look great. It's one of those games where its simplicity was its key, and like it seems like they're overcomplicating it and trying to add a narrative and all this other stuff where it's like, no, you're Payday. Just like I just want my heisting game. But that's me.
Yeah. Oh, and I mean, visually, it just looked a little bit dated, so...
Well, I mean, we'll get into that in a bit. Not necessarily with that, but a lot of the... let's say fallout from this show and some of the reactions from people and some of the comments from the Xbox people.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I guess... like. Just move right into it. Starfield was, they showed that, a lot of that. I think you guys maybe kept watching it longer than I did.
Oh, I watched the whole thing.
I caught parts of it, and the parts I caught looked amazing.
They did announce that it is locked at 30, because they are going for 4K resolution. And I assume that is what you were referring to, Earl, with the... Some of the comments coming out from some people.
To a degree, yes. There was also some other stuff, but I guess it was a combination of those two happening at the same time because people are like, why aren't we getting 4K and 60 frames per second? That should be the bare minimum. And I've said it at the start of the generation. I will say it at the end of this generation and the start of the next one. It's never like you could do high resolution and high frame rates. It's never going to be the choice because everybody, well, not everybody, but gamers value visual fidelity. So that means that you do what gets you the prettiest looking game, and that is not always 60 frames per second. But like, this is in combination with the there was a comment from the Xbox dude who was like, yeah, you know, like we're just gonna have to get used to the fact that, like, you know, the turnaround time is now like 5 years. That's what you're getting. You're not getting.
Yeah. Matt Booty was out there. I guess he had an interview where he said, yeah, the AAA development is now half a decade or longer to get these games out.
Yeah. And everybody's like, no. Why? And then it's like, yes, because you folks want top of the line graphics. You folks want. And again, you know, this is where the industry went. That's not it. It's not necessarily always on a consumer, but this is what you want. We've said it last week, I think, with Sonic. We saw it again with Prince of Persia, which we'll get to. Well, no, Prince of Persia was at Summer Game Fest, where a lot of people are like, oh, but these aren't full price games. Why? They're 3D. They're 2D. And that's it. It's not anything else. It's just like these aren't 3D, so they're not full price games.
Yep, they look at stuff like that as like not as valuable, or they look at like, oh, it's only an 8 to 12 hour game. That's not a full price game. Like if it's not 25 to 30 hours.
Yes. And then people are like, oh, but you get all this open world and all this open world jank. Because you folks stop saying you wanted in your 8 to 10 hour adventures because that wasn't worth the full price. So now you get these things padded because we have to make sure it's worth what you want it to be worth. Yeah, it's a lot of that stuff.
And Corey Barlog, actually, I saw him. He's the God of War guy. Okay. He was out there basically saying, yes, this is 100% accurate. Like, it takes a long time to make these big games now. He also said it was soul crushing. So that doesn't speak well either.
Because it kind of sucks when you spend 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years of your life on a game. Because, I mean, we've had it come up once or twice before recently, where like, you could tell a game was definitely designed for a specific period of time. And the moment passed it by. I mean, a good example of that, whenever it does come out, Suicide Squad. That was clearly a game that was made with like 2018, 2019 games and services are the future. Everybody loves them. Everybody wants them. Oh, crap. No. People are moving off this. But we still have this game we've been working on. Can we salvage it? The answer so far, no, but we'll see.
Yeah, we will see if they can salvage Suicide Squad. That one's going to be a mess. But yeah, Starfield looks pretty good.
It looks good. I was into most of what they were showing. I thought, you know, the prolonged thing was kind of dumb. Not necessarily for quality reasons, just like it was a cute format, I think. I just don't think it was what people wanted. Oh, I don't know. I haven't seen reactions to it really. I was just like, oh, like, yay, we have these people talking about their favorite part of the game they're making.
I did think the NASA punk term was a little corny, but I guess it is. Like they're going for like a, they're using NASA as like their vibe, but then I guess they kind of want to add like a fantasy steampunk aesthetic to it as well. So I don't know. Everything about that looked better than what they showed last year, I thought.
Yeah. I mean, it looks really good. I like the core conceit of it. I will complain about the format, but overall, I thought it was a really solid presentation on the game, what it offers, what it does differently, what they've been working on for, I mean, a decade at this point, really.
Yeah. And, you know, our buddy Sean, who is a big Star Citizen player, he said a lot of the stuff that they're showing in Starfield is stuff that, like, is promised in Star Citizen, but still hasn't materialized. So that would be neat. The only thing that I think is missing is like the free space stuff. It does look like you pick like, I want to go here. And then there's like an animation of your ship taking you there.
I'm fine with that. I don't want to fly.
Well, there are some flying because I think
there's dogfighting.
Yeah, there was some dogfighting in it.
There was another game, I forget which one, maybe at Ubisoft, where they showed that.
It was Star Wars. Like, yeah, Star Wars. Like, this is boring.
Yeah.
I liked it. I thought it was fun.
Which is fine, but like all of them, I feel like does the same thing where it's like, oh, you're in a ship and you're just going to be chasing other ships around and we'll give you a yacht on.
Yeah, you're chasing a reticule, basically. Like, you're trying to, you know, just get them in your sights, and you're chasing the little box and trying to hit that target.
And that, because that's exactly what Halo, not Infinite, 5 did as well, I think, or whichever one has space combat.
I think Reach and 4 both did.
And I'm just like, oh, this is so tedious and boring.
So Space Sims, not for Earl. But I don't think there's a lot of it, Tony. It seems like a lot more is the exploration. It looks like, you know, hey, what if we did No Man's Sky, but made it not cartoon looking? I don't know. It's coming to Game Pass, so I think that's just like an easy go. Like, everyone gives it a shot, sees if it works.
I am all for playing AAA games for free.
Yeah.
Give me.
Yeah. Or even not AAA games. I mean, it's one of the reasons, only reason I'm going to play Exo Primal next month. So.
Yeah. I would not buy Exo Primal, but I am into weird, goofy anime, dinosaur, kind of like EDF type thing.
Yeah.
From Capcom. I'm into that. Because it's free with my subscription. So I think we said that about what was the last week, it was the John Carpenter one. Like, if that hits Game Pass, it's like,
yeah, all over it.
We'll give it a shot.
Same thing with what is that? Not John Carpenter, the Texas Chainsaw.
Yeah,
the Game Pass. I'm like, yeah. I mean, I was interested in it, but now I'm really gonna play it. So.
I would have been buying that regardless. But yeah,
now you don't have to.
Yeah.
So that was the Xbox showcase. They also had an extended event where they kind of went into Avowed a bit more.
Wait, what did they end on?
Oh, what did the Xbox on Sunday end on? It was Starfield.
No, the Starfield was the Gongo presentation. What was because Starfield was presented as a step. They ended on something else, which was just like, because they ended on a new IP, didn't they?
I thought it ended with Starfield, but I did. Notably cut out when I was like, I'm gonna play this game, I don't really want to see much more of it. So
they ended with showing the Series S 1 terabyte.
They did, but I could have swore they showed a game, or they teased the game. No, because again, Starfield was at the start. Starfield,
I'm gonna keep doing this to you.
Was it the Star Wars thing? They showed that.
The last game they showed was the BioShock.
Was it okay? Was it the BioShock thing? That would make sense then.
We're just gonna call BioShock
Clockwork Revolution, which I'm not even sure if that's the name of it.
it's a revelation of I think it's that, but yeah, okay.
What happened to my System Shock remake? Where's that? Want to play it?
What was that, Jeff?
I said, what happened to my System Shock remake? I want to play that.
Is that not out on next? It's out. Like, it is on PC.
It's on PC only right now, I think. Yeah.
Okay, so it's not out on.
How was that? Is that, will I like that?
I mean, it's probably a little bit dated. I haven't played the remake.
Yeah.
But I think you will. Like, it's, it's an immersive sim type thing, but also like a shooter, so. I think you probably dig it when it finally hits. If it does hit consoles.
Yeah.
System Shock 2 is the better of those games, but
they remade the first one.
Yeah, System Shock's a good game. So, then skip Ubisoft for 1 second because Microsoft had a second event on Tuesday where they kind of showed some more of the stuff there. Some of the stuff that they already had, they went deeper on some of their stuff. They also showed Lies of P, which is a Bloodborne Souls type action game starring Pinocchio.
Yeah,
there's a demo out there.
I will say that I was like, oh man, so many things are going into public domain, and I'm like, maybe things shouldn't be in a public domain. Between like that Winnie the Pooh horror movie and yep. Now it's like, maybe we should protect our IP.
This is very bloody, so this seems to take it more with more reverence than the Winnie the Pooh thing did. I have not heard anything bad about it, but I would probably wait to I would wait to see if Jeff tries it to hear what his opinion on it is, because it's Souls-like. So
they never get it right. Stop trying to copy them.
And I wonder if if they just went a little more action oriented, maybe that might make it might make it work for it. I don't know.
I have to be honest, though, that new Lords of the Fallen, it actually looks pretty good.
You didn't like the first one, though, right?
No. Nobody ever can do it right, except for From Software.
Trailers and, vertical slices good, of games look good, yeah, but then, once you play it, you're like, I don't know.
They might sucker me with it, but maybe it'll be good. Who knows? But it is a different developer doing it, so.
Tony, you did not catch it because you were working your event, but there's this game called the Lamplighters League from Paradox that's coming to Game Pass.
What?
The Lamplighters League.
Okay.
It is it's from the people who did the Shadowrun games.
Oh, that could be good.
And it's tactical turn-based combat, but adventure setting looks neat, and I know you're a fan of what Paradox publishes, so that one might, and that's coming to Game Pass, so again, just easy enough to give a go to. Phasmophobia, Earl, this seems like a game you would try with people.
Yeah, it is. It's also coming to Game Pass.
Yeah, that's one that's already out there, right? That's on PC.
It's on PC.
Yeah. So this is coming to Xbox, and it will have crossplay. It's like a ghost hunting game.
We had a ghost hunting game, and we didn't play it. And it was pretty good.
We still do. We all have that game.
Yes. I kind of liked it.
I don't even know if I downloaded it.
Nobody's playing it anymore.
I mean, I downloaded it because we got free codes for it. So. Yes,
I think I was the only one who actually played that.
Got Earl.
I think it was just, well, it was bad time because I honestly think that, we got it. I think the last time I was on vacation and then I got back and I just completely forgot about it.
Yeah, and Jeff, you played it and talked enough about it on the show that I was like, all right, we're good.
it was pretty decent for what it was, yeah.
Yeah, I liked IP.
Yeah,
And they have been supporting it because I did see that they released some additional stuff for it recently. High Five Rush is getting a couple new modes. They don't look like they're for me, but
I'm happy that they're still supporting it, though.
Yeah, this looks like it is very much for the people who get into being able to hold those chains and stay on the beat real well.
The nerds, trying to say the nerds.
People have devoted themselves to playing it properly as opposed to just I'm having fun with this and I can string together a pretty good you know, on beat attack, but if I mess up, the game didn't really penalize you for it. And these new modes seem like they're designed for the people who are really good at that, keeping on beat. So, and then Ubisoft had their show. Jeff, you seem like you're into Avatar Frontiers of Pandora.
Yeah, I think I watched the trailer. Yeah, it just looks bright and colorful, and I don't know, I could see an Avatar game being kind of good. I told my wife about it, and she got like really excited. She's one of those weird Avatar people.
There's a lot of those weird Avatar.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Very strange. Based off of the box office, if you don't like Avatar, you're actually in the minority of moviegoers.
I was listening to a podcast the other day, and the guy was talking about it. He's like, I just don't know who this game is for. It's like, that first one did great, but like, did you just miss that they released a second movie, and that one also did great?
I had a conversation with some friends this week, very similar to that, and like, I was asking them, like, what do you think is like the biggest show on TV right now? Because like, there's a difference sometimes between like, I mean, we can say we have a certain bubble that you exist in, that you, and then there's the rest of the world. It's like, I think people like us watch Succession, Game of Thrones, Ring of Power, stuff like that. And yeah, then like, but I don't know anybody who watches the biggest show on TV is NCIS. I don't know anybody who watches
that. SVU, something like that.
Yeah. Two different shows, two different networks.
that checks out. Like, old people like NCIS. That show's been on forever too. It's like,
yeah, that's where it came from. Because my friend, post, he was at trivia the other night, and they asked, like, can you name 10 of the 14 shows that have done more than 15 seasons? And I'm like, I didn't realize there was that few, but like, yeah. There are, that's one of them. SVU is another one. The On Art is another one. And it's like, those are the shows that, because they don't, characters don't matter. It's about the story, so.
Yeah, like it's a procedural. So as long as you give a new mystery or a new case each week, people are happy.
Yeah.
What's the mystery of the week? That Avatar game, though, it gave me very strong Far Cry vibes. Just with blue people.
I did not watch it, but
Blue Cry.
Yeah. Which was why I was surprised when Jeff was like, this looks kinda cool. It's like, all right.
I'm in, baby.
I thought we were sick of these games, Jeff. Yeah,
these, hey, like, different though now.
Sure.
They're big blue people.
You're a blue person climbing a green tower, I suppose.
I'm in.
I mean, there are differences. Looks like you'll be able to fly with like that dragon thing.
Yeah, bro.
Like there are things that make it distinguish it from Far Cry, but it, yeah, like the, like, combat looked very much like, you know, first person bow and arrow, or you're gonna pick up a machine gun and it looks like that. You're taking out like insurgent bases and stuff. Could be fun though. Like, I mean, Far Cry can still be fun. Prince of Persia, The Lost Crown. I think we talked a little bit about it last week because it was debuted on
Summer Game Fest night one.
Yes. But Ubisoft showed a little bit more of it. And where I think I was a little, I don't know, it looks like, it definitely does look 2D, but there's these like 3D bits to it. Yeah, it's a 2D Metroidvania type game. Yep. It looks good.
Right.
Yeah.
My one concern is I want to play it because like they talked about like all this stuff. I'm like, where are you putting all these buttons? Because like he has a jump, he has an attack, he has the arrow, the bow and arrow, he has a duck underneath, he has the time powers now too. Like, okay, like, are you gonna use every button?
You're gonna have to like spider your hands to play it.
Yeah, Because they're showing combos where he's jumping over stuff and jumping over the, and then like, a shadow of him appears on the other side, and you can zip back over there. I'm like, okay, that looks really cool, but how does that all work as a player? I want to know what are my hands going through at the end of a session.
Cramped.
I hope not.
They showed off Assassin's Creed Mirage. Earl, you did not think that it looked great?
At least at first. Visually, I don't think it looks that interesting. It was surprising because I feel like Assassin's Creed has always kind of been one of those franchises that was at the forefront of graphics for the generation. And this seemed like it was like a late-gen last-gen title. And I thought some of the animations looked really stiff, but you said that's kind of what Assassin's Creed is.
Yeah, I mean, recently, the last three, was it Valhalla, Odyssey, and Origins? They're a little more spry, but yeah, the older Assassin's Creed games are very, they're way more stiff than you would expect from a normal action game. We'll have to see it in motion, though. It does look like they're moving away from the just go and slaughter everybody, though, and more back to the kind of sneak around to kill people and then run away.
Yeah.
Well, that's better. I don't know if it's better, but we've done so much of the other one recently.
Yeah.
Like nice the last two games, you didn't really have to sneak around at all.
You just go and slaughter everybody.
You're literally like, you're a Viking. You're out there, you've got this giant axe, and you have like a party of Vikings with you, and you're like tramping through a village. It's not, and they like battle, like huge battles. And okay, it's a nice game, but it's not really a assassinating game.
And I did not play much of Valhalla, and I know you and Jeff did. Was there like a list of people for you to kill?
There was, but they weren't like assassinations.
Okay.
Like, I guess I don't even know if there was there were definitely people you had to kill in certain areas in order for things to happen, but like
it wasn't like Origins or Odyssey where it was like I need to kill these people
no
to get to the top and kill that person. This seems to be a return to the old style where it's like you're getting missions from the Assassin's Guild and they're pushing you towards like you need to kill this person. I hope it's good. It's coming out in a very packed time. It's middle of October, and September and October are filled with stuff. So
I mean, none of those games are bad, but I just
no.
If it's like, I mean, what you're saying to me sounds kind of refreshing and different from the last few. So that's like a good path.
Yeah. And I know Jeff finally got into Assassin's Creed.
Yeah, and now I'm out.
Now you're out.
But it is like, I kind of got a little, I think it was Odyssey. That was the Greek one, right?
Yeah.
It was just so much. It's like, this isn't moving. And I kind of just want a more straightforward, just give me the missions, even though it's still open world, but like, give me the missions so I can progress and finish this in 20 hours or so. Those Assassin's Creed games they were 40, 50, 60 hour games.
They were longer than that. Like I love Valhalla and didn't finish it. Cause like I put in my 50 hours and it was pretty clear that I wasn't even close to the end.
Jesus.
Yeah, I beat it. It was pretty long. Pretty massive game there. That's what made it awesome.
And I'm glad that they're like doing different, like I'm like, we're going to try this. And then they have whatever that new game coming out is, like they're different flavors of Assassin's Creed, but I think that's good. Like, I think we need to spice up the formula every now and then so that, you know, when you do return to something like this one, it's like, yeah, this seems cool. At least for me and Tony.
Sorry, Jeff.
The Crew Motorfest coming in September. They keep making the Crew games.
This They'll crack is, the code eventually. Wow,
hear all that excitement from the show.
We're a crew here.
I played one of them. I thought it was neat how you could, like, go to the real places.
Yeah, and so that's what's weird about this one, Jeff. So, like, I played the first one, and that was their big gimmick, and I think it was the same in two, was, like, you could drive from Detroit to Las Vegas.
I think that's, like, the one I played, so yeah.
Yeah, and the cities, like, they had real names, and, like, they were modeled close enough to, like, what you would expect. But you could go all over the world, like, all over the country. This takes place in Hawaii. Specifically on Oahu. It is one island. They've made Forza Horizon, but for the Crew. And
is it the actual island? Like, is it, like, you know, I don't, like, using, I don't even think,
no,
their streets and stuff?
No.
Well, then
it is. There it goes, is, like,
the one reason you had to exist.
It is like Forza Horizon 5, right, in Mexico, or Forza Horizon 3 in Australia. It is not, like, it is designed to look like Hawaii. They're saying it's on Oahu, but it is not. Like, we did not map this out. It is not the full thing. They just want to give you that tropical island vibe, I guess. And my problem with the Crew is I don't think the driving is very good.
Yeah, it doesn't play as well as other racers, so that's kind of
right.
It's kind, like, of a crucial thing.
it doesn't, like, I mean, Forza Horizon is built off of a, you know, a simulation model for driving, but it doesn't play as good as, like, Need for Speed or Burnout. It just doesn't feel as good. It's more like you're driving a soap bar down a street. It looks great, like, visually it looks really nice, but I see they showed Skull and Bones, kind of.
Oh no. Woo!
It's coming out. It's finally coming.
No, it's not. It's not.
There's a beta coming. We can all play the beta on the weekend of the 25th to the 28th of August.
This August or August, like, 2025?
I mean, they didn't specify. I'm assuming it's this August, but you could be right. And they brought these people out who sang a song, Skull and Bones.
Oh God.
And, like, it was, like, pirate themed. And in the background of these people singing was, like, footage of the game. Like, they didn't actually show the game, just a montage of Skull and Bones gameplay with these guys singing. It was the weirdest thing. Ubisoft does this a lot, but it was so goofy.
Okay, you mentioned that, and I wanted to bring that up. Because I think Ubisoft was just a really nice reminder of, like, what people are asking for
with E3. Yep.
Yes, when they, like, I want the 100%. E3 back. It's like, you got the old E3 back. Are you sure?
Yep. That's what you wanted. 100% or all. So I'm like, I kind of wish, like, you know, we had the old. And then Ubisoft just gave us their E3. Presentation that they've been giving for years. It's like, this is bad. Like, it's not. They started off with a dance, like, they were dancing. There's Olympic esports, and Just Dance is one of the events, and they showed off some of the dancers that are going to be competing in the Olympic esports events for Just Dance. That was how they kicked this off, and then they had the Skull and Bones thing. It's very weird.
And you just say, E3's back, baby.
Where's Joel McHale? That's all we really need here. Where's they Mr. Caffeine?
I said, he has to. Everybody's here too, didn't they?
Yeah, I mean, think so.
Microsoft had Keanu.
Yeah. Yeah, they did. Twice, actually. He showed up on the extended thing, too.
Oh, okay.
For a longer interview.
I just think it was super awkward because clearly that was not in front of a live audience.
Neither of those were. Yeah, the Xbox one, the Ubisoft one was in front of a live audience, yes. And it was weird.
The weirder thing was like with the stuff that came out afterwards, because like people were like, because like there was a part at the end where I guess people were giving like a round of applause and like people just kind of left. So some of that was captured on screen.
Riders Republic is getting a skateboarding add-on. I'm interested in that. I liked Riders Republic. I don't know how you work skateboarding into that, because that is a game where you like get around on your bike and your jetpack. The skateboard doesn't work on a mountain. I don't know, but they have the gameplay down for those. Like the tricks work. Everything is really good. So if they can set up some skate parks, it might be a good alternative to not having a new Tony Hawk or a skate game out there. And then they finished the Ubisoft presentation with a 10-minute gameplay showcase of Star Wars Outlaws. And I thought this game looks really good.
Yeah.
Combat-wise, it looks a little bit like The Division, which makes sense. It is by Massive Entertainment, the people who make The Division. At least the shooting stuff was. But then there, you know, we mentioned earlier, there's space combat. There's also some stealth bits in there. I don't know. It looks cool. And they're like, you can go anywhere. Like, and I think anywhere is probably like there'll be like 10 or 15 different planets you can go to, and then you'll drop into a spaceport and be able to do stuff there. I don't think it'll be open galaxy, but this looks like another winner of a Star Wars game, so I'm into it.
Yeah, it looked good. Did we get a time window for that?
I think they said next year. They did not say when. They showed off a good chunk of that game, so I'm hoping it is
sooner rather
relatively
than
sooner. Yeah, like early next year or first half of next year would be nice. And that was there was more. There was like a Capcom thing where I think they showed off a new Mega Man game.
Mega Man game. It's a mobile game.
Oh, never mind.
I think it was a mobile game that exists, but that they're making. Basically, they're getting rid of the gotcha elements so that people would actually, you know, like partake in the game.
Got it. So, I did not watch it. I know that Walt mentioned that there was a new Mega Man game, Mega Man X Dive.
Yeah.
And it's coming off of mobile, coming to Steam and maybe elsewhere. No, it's coming to Steam, iOS, and Android. So I don't know. Weird thing. They also had, is it Capcom Town or something like that?
Yes, which is a weirder announcement. They're like, we're celebrating
30 years? 40 years? Yeah,
40 years.
40 years of Capcom.
Which is cool. That it's like, okay, what do you have for us for this? It's like, go to this website. Like, okay, what do you have for us? Go to this website and, I don't know, click on some stuff. Have fun.
Yeah, it brings up like a carnival type map, or like if you've ever gone to a theme park, like a map like that, and then there's like little stations on the map, like, oh, you click the Street Fighter one, and there's like a couple different options there. And I think you can play like Street Fighter 2 Turbo directly from there in your browser. It's not the ideal way to play that game, or any of the games that they have here, but
yeah.
Neat idea, maybe not wonderfully executed, but that seems to be Capcom sometimes, so.
What can you do?
And that was Summer Game Fest.
Ooh, thank you, Jeff Keighley.
Oh, that's part of Summer Game Fest. It continues on. I think we still got some other people coming up soon.
That is true. There's like one on the 29th of June. I think it's the Annapurna one.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. It's such a weird conceit. I think we've gone through this before, which is really the bigger issues. Not even the Summer Game Fest is whatever. It's just like this whole, oh yes, it could be one event or it could be everything that happens in a month of June and July. Oh, one way to find out. It's when I say it stops.
this is related to Summer Game Fest, although I don't think it was announced on any of the showcases. Armored Core 6 showed off some gameplay.
Oh, yeah.
The new From Software game. I don't think it is a Jeff game.
I don't know. It looked cool from what I saw.
Ah, good. Well, I hope you try it out. I hope you like it. It's a, you know, Armored Core's mechs, so.
Yeah.
when it's not, it's more like you're managing systems on your mechs as well as doing combat, so it's like a twofold type thing. I don't know. Those games they always look good. I'm not good at them, so I will probably skip this one. that's it for Summer Games Fest until, you know, there's more Summer Games Fest, but did you guys play anything this past week? Jeff, I know you've been playing a lot of Diablo.
Oh, yeah.
You finally finished Act 1. You're now level 75 or something.
Level, I think, 41 now. That's good for me because that means above, as far as I understand, in World Tier 1, it scales, the game scales with you up to level 50, but then after that you can get overpowered, so I will be fairly overpowered going into, you know,
the final boss. And then, like, World Tier 3, well, to get to World Tier 3, you need to do something in World Tier 2, right? Like, I think there's, like, a quest line to unlock World Tier 3. And
I guess I'll find out. Is there a capstone dungeon or something like that?
Yeah, I think there's some sort of special dungeon you have to run to unlock it. And then the same for 4. For those that don't know, the world tiers are basically your difficulties. One, I wouldn't say is easy, but maybe normal.
And I'd say, like, just in general, the game is much more challenging than Diablo 3. So I went in with the expectation that, like, because on Diablo 3, I would play on, like, the highest difficulty, and it was still easy. And I started on World Tier 2 here, and it was not easy. So I don't know. What do you think? Like, I find it challenging often.
I've only died once. It could just be the way I built my character out, but I do feel that I will. I'm starting to see where the build that I have right now isn't doing as much damage as we go forward with some of the, as I advance with some of the story missions. So it's like, we'll see. I'm still in Act 1, but I am level like 27 now. So
nice. Be careful, Chris. I'm going to lap you.
Yeah.
How's that?
I started playing today and I'm at 15.
Well, it slows down for sure.
Yeah, I think I mean, and you probably only played like a couple hours, right, Tony? Like,
yeah.
Yeah, it does slow down considerably after I think you hit like level 20. It just takes exponentially longer, but I'm still, every time I play, like, you know, a half hour, I'm still going up a level or so. It just, it's not as quick as it was in the early going.
So are you doing like me where, or me and, you know, my wife and my friend, where it's like, hey, we're going to go over here and do this thing. And then on the way to doing that thing, you like do three other things because you keep finding like.
So, yes, that's, that's pretty much. So it's like,
here's oh, world events. Story mission.
Yeah. And you have the story mission and it's like you start walking over there, but then like a blue exclamation point pops up or an orange circle pops up or you stumble across a dungeon or a cellar. And so like you do those and then it's like, well, now I've been playing for 2 hours.
Like, all right, that was fun, guys. I mean,
I'm not going to do the yellow mission this time. And then when you come back, there's another blue check, like another blue exclamation point.
Yeah, side quests keep popping up. And it's even worse for me because I'm playing the game a lot. So I play a lot even when everyone else can't play. So I'm having to like redo. Like I'm further in the campaign than my wife or my friend. And so it's like, all right, now we're going to play in your world because you're further back. And so like I'm just like replaying. I'm doing basically everything three times. Hopefully everyone gets done with the first act soon. Jeez Louise.
And then. And I don't know, but I think like each act has like a region, right? Like, is that
maybe? I guess I haven't really noticed.
So you can bring.
Up... I also just go explore. So I have like a lot of the map opened up. So it's like I don't know, maybe.
Well, because you get like there's like experience that you get for exploring and stuff mm-hmm. or doing like.
Trying to get that renown up, baby.
Right. And like I think I've actually hit a block. I don't know if I can get to the fourth one. But it has like a list at the bottom, like, oh, there's 35 side quests or 28 Altars of Lilith or and that all seems to be related to Act One. So I was like, I mean, there's a ton of content in this game then. If there's like 35 side quests in Act One and then Act 2 and Act 3 are the same size. It's going to take forever.
Yeah.
We'll start getting power round points before we even get out of Act 2.
I flee at Paragon well before the end of the game. And I like just playing through the campaign, I feel like I'm going to put in over 100 hours. Now, that is me, again, playing with others. So it's... Yeah,
basically playing it three times.
Yeah, but like, I you know, there's easily enough content in this game though that you could, I guarantee, go 50 plus hours just playing through the campaign once because there's just so much, you know, there's world events. It's like you said, cellars. There's dungeons. There's a lot of dungeons, and those take a while. Like, I kind of love just finding a random dungeon and just doing that. You know what I mean? Like, it's kind of my favorite thing. I love this game.
They're fun. And like, because then, like, each of the dungeons has, like, a. It's not really a puzzle, but it's like you need to do this before you can unlock the door to get to the boss. And then there's a boss. It's a pain in the ass.
Yep.
I'm not really sure what the aspects are yet. I have a bunch of them, but I'm not. I haven't really explored what they do.
I have a bunch, but I only have one that applies to my class. But okay. As far as I know, that's kind of like you could apply that to something. There's an occultist in town that will apply your aspects. Like, so I don't know, whatever it is, you could put it on your weapon or whatever. But I do think also, I think that like, have you talked to the occultist in town? I think you could like take an aspect of an item and apply it to another item as well. Like, I could be wrong about this, but it's the one thing of the game I haven't explored yet.
So, like, when I think you unlock him at like 20 or so, that might be the gem person, I'm not sure. But you get like these little, like, basically like tutorial quests that are like they're white markers. And I did all of them, so I definitely talked to the guy. but I never returned and did anything else with
it. Yeah, it's something I haven't gotten into yet. I do have an aspect finally that applies to my character. But again, I think that like you don't necessarily have to use those aspects. I think that you can take one aspect of something that you like and apply it to something else. I could be wrong, so don't quote me on this. But again, okay. It's something I have to. It's like the last thing I have to like look into really.
So Tony, you're enjoying it.
I mean, I've enjoyed what I've played today, although I still haven't gotten past where I played in the beta. So I'm right there. Like that's actually where I stopped. Was where I stopped in the beta. So I'm about to move on to new content. But it was nice playing it all twice.
Well, at least the second time around, you knew what to do.
Right. There was no, like, wandering about. It was just like, I'll go this way. Although the online stuff seemed to be working now. So, like, I ran into other people. Like, I walked into a world event, and I didn't end up doing it by myself. Like, four people hopped in to help.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
Jeff, have you seen the world boss yet?
No, I've not.
I have not seen them either.
Will that appear just like a world event? Like you'll just be walking around and then there's like a giant boss or some shit? Like,
yeah, from what I understand is that they appear every 6 hours.
Huh.
And there's certain spots where they'll appear. I've not seen them. I thought there was supposed to be an alert, but maybe I'm just not far enough in the game.
I have not seen it yet. And that's one thing I remember thinking about that. And I just completely forgot about it. I meant to look into that as well, but, man, think of, dude, I'm going to sink like probably 200 hours into this game just with my one character. And then there's like four other classes for me to try out. You could do different builds of your, you know what I'm saying? Like I'm like pretty set into like what I like of, you know, my druid, but like I could have built him completely differently.
My rogue I built out to be kind of ranged at like traps and range. So like I'll drop traps, slow them down, back up and use my bow from afar. But you can totally work that where it's your melee focused, you like upgrade your dodge. And I'm sure all the classes have like different abilities to mod out. And
well, it's just like, I don't know, I kind of take one from each part of the tree, you know what I mean? So it's like,
yeah,
you know, my companion skill is I use the poison creeper, which is like it, you know, brings up these basically an area of creeper vines around you that poisons everybody. But you could, you know, there's like four other different companion skills that I've not even ever tried. It's just like I like the poison creeper, that's what I'm using, you know what I mean? Like,
yep, 100%, because that's exactly how like I like dropping caltrops, which slow and damage. And then I like using like this, it's called Barrage, which just fires like a bunch of, basically makes your bow into a machine gun. And I fire it until I'm out of energy. And then I roll around until I get energy back and do it all again.
I did switch out one thing. I had one skill and then I got like a piece of armor that was like, this boosts your earth, you know, skills. And I didn't have any earth skills. So I was like, you know what? I'll try out an earth skill, whatever. And I did switch out, you know, this one thing that I did use, but was not crucial. And now I have this boulder that not only does some pretty, like, you like, you know, roll, it rolls out like in a straight line in front of you. Not only does some pretty good damage, but it'll push enemies away. It'll push a big enemy back up against the wall. So I'm like, oh yeah, this is cool. So now that's part of my rotation. But now I'm like, you know, pretty set in my ways at this point in how my build is going to be. But to get back to like my original point is like, think of all that and you think of all the like stuff that you could do at the end game. Like, you know, after the campaign, there's like tons of cool shit to do. I have no idea how many hours I'm gonna put in this game, but it's going to be a lot, dude.
It's good time. And I saw Tony joined the clan, so I'm still not sure. Like, I mean, Sean and Walt wanted to start the clan. I'm still not sure what the benefit of the clan is, but
we really need to specify when we say somebody starts
white hoodies.
I did not go out and buy a hood. That's not what happened. There will be no burning crosses. He means a clan in Diablo.
Yes, the Diablo clan.
I would not join the other clan. They are bad. They are evil. They should all die.
Yeah, I'm not sure what the benefits of having that group are, but whatever. In past games, like playing with members up your experience, like you earned experience faster. I don't know if that's true here, because I have not played with anybody yet. I know Jeff and Sean have played together.
Man, I'm down whenever.
Yeah.
I was thinking more like, I'm hoping if you guys keep playing after the campaign, like doing that shit, post-campaign.
Yeah, there's definitely, like, I looked at the achievements, and there's a bunch of achievements for doing stuff post-game. Like there's special dungeons to do and get special equipment, and you can only do that on the higher levels. Like, I guess I'm into it for a little bit after finishing the game, I guess, so.
Yeah. Plus you get to build all those Paragon points and shit, dude.
Yeah. And I think there's an achievement for like reaching level 100, so.
Is there a cap, and is that the cap?
I don't know if that's the cap, but there's definitely an achievement for hitting 100.
Interesting. All right. I love it. It's the best game ever.
Real
it
quick,
is, it is 100, by the way.
It is 100.
Just as a quick aside,
yeah,
because we've mentioned that, like, you know, the summer carry never ends, that there is an event going on now. It's a very small one. It is like a dragon. The studio RGG is having a event to showcase the gameplay for that, but that is really going on as we're recording.
Oh. Yep, so it's just Summer Games Fest never ends. And that's great. let's see. Real quick, I finished Star Wars Jedi Survivor. That game is really good.
It's good, but it's so hard going from like between that and Zelda was hard for me, because like Jedi Survivor is a very rigid, linear game. Like, there's one way to do things, and then when you're playing Zelda, it's just like, I made a crazy thing that somehow works. You know what I mean? Like, it was...
It is very much like, this is the... Like, even though it has this open area, like, there's no approaching it from a different angle.
It is a course that you're supposed to go through, and it's good. Like, there's room for both types of games. Like, it is a very good game. It was just really, whiplash going between those two games.
I like where it goes story wise. Although, I think if you've ever played a game or watched a movie, you will know where part of this is going. It's like, and I kind of called it at the beginning of playing it. I was like, this person's not like this is a bad dude. and it rolls that way. But I really liked that game. It was a ton of fun. And I Earl was hoping he would escape it, but, I played the Final Fantasy 16 demo, prologue, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
So I know you were like, oh, good, I won't be here when you talk about Final Fantasy. But I played it just so that I would have it to talk about for you.
Oh, yeah, I'm so lucky.
It is a very pretty game. I am surprised at the positive reception that demo is getting, though. Especially after people bitch so much about 13 being super linear. There is no openness at all in that 2-hour demo. Maybe it opens up at some point in the actual game, but it is very rigid. Like, the areas you're in aren't even that big and explorable. It is kind of, you're just running in a path. Combat-wise, it is weird. You control this guy named Clive. He can, like, cast magic, and he has a sword. You fight with people on your side, but you only control Clive. And it plays a little bit like, you know, Devil May Cry or Bayonetta. It's very action-oriented. Yeah, it's very horny. The game is super horny in the first 2 hours.
Oh, great.
Yeah. It's like, and it's very, like, what if we did Game of Thrones, but anime? Like, it's weird. And there's these big kaiju-type monsters that are out there. And they fight sometimes. And that stuff looks really neat, but the actual combat between the two is just like a shooter. So there's this sequence where you play as Phoenix, who's one of the big kaiju monsters, and you're fighting this other one called the Icon of Fire. And basically it's the Balrog, you know, Gandalf and the Balrog falling fight. except instead of you being Gandalf, you're a phoenix, and you're firing, like, fire missiles at him as you're dodging him as you go through this tunnel type thing. I don't know. It all looks really cool, but I was not like, this is super good to play. I am interested in where the story goes, and the combat itself is fine, like, enough that I'll be like, this is fun, I'll play it, but I am super surprised at the positive reception that it is getting right now.
Does it feel like Final Fantasy?
No. Not at all. Mostly because Final Fantasy, for 35 years now, except for a handful of games, has always been about you having a party of people. And, like, there are people that are in your, like, they fight alongside you, but, I mean, the two people that fight alongside you in the game, I think they're dead by the end of the demo. So, like, you're not building out a party in that way. You're not upgrading them. Sorry. They're, like, kind of no-name people. Like, your dad is the Archduke of wherever.
I mean, let's be honest. I mean, parents in RPGs don't ask that. It's like parents in Disney movies.
Yeah. Well, so your dad is the Archduke, and he gives you a mission to go on. He assigns you, like, these, basically you take two of his soldiers. They're, like, they have names, but I think they're dead by the end of the prologue. I really do. And spoilers, so is your dad. he's dead by the end of it as well.
Aww.
It is a great death, though. Like, he gets betrayed, and a sword gets run through him, and your little brother is standing behind him. Blood just splatters all over the little brother. It's ridiculous looking. This is so dumb.
It makes me sad. The tone makes me sad, though, because, like, my son really, really enjoyed Final Fantasy 15, and there is no way he could play this ever.
No. Like, and that's the thing, right? Final Fantasy 15 was, like, you know, it was just you and your bros out on a road trip. And, you know, other shit happens, but that's basically what it was. And this is, like, this is Game of Thrones, like, but done through, like, an anime lens. Really weird.
I mean, that sounds cool for me, though, because I wasn't all that interested in Final Fantasy 15. But Game of Thrones, that's...
Story-wise, it's that, but like, through that anime lens.
But I hated the gameplay from Final Fantasy 13, so, like, getting stuck in that corridor and, like...
So it's not, but it's not turn-based, it's...
It feels, I mean, from what I see, it's more like Bayonetta. or like Devil May Cry, which is really what I was more curious about because
it's action focused. Yeah, yes,
they got people from I think Platinum Games to work on it with them. I'm like, oh, that is not at all what I think about when I think of Final Fantasy. It's like I'm gonna get myself some Devil May Cry combos. I'm gonna be Bayonetta, but
you're totally stringing together combos and that there's like I guess as you. There's like an ability tree and you'll spend points on that, which unlocks other combos. It is an action game, not like, I mean, there you earn experience and stuff, but it is not an RPG in the sense that of how previous Final Fantasies have been. But yeah, Tony, like I, like the corridor stuff is more like the design of the map.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like in Final Fantasy 13, it was, you would have turn-based battles. Like, this is just, like, the enemies are, like, there's goblins up there, you're gonna go fight the goblins. You go into this big area, and, like, basically, it's like any big game. It's like, you get into this area, and it's like, oh, it's bigger, so I'm probably gonna fight, like, a boss in here. And that's exactly how that plays out. Combat seems fine. Like, it's Earl said, it's Devil May Cry, Bayonetta type of combat. It's a little bit simpler than that, but I don't know. Maybe you'll like it. I would wait to see what people really have to say about, like, after the prologue. So I think that game needs to open up. If that's what this game is for 40 hours, I don't know if I'm going to be into it, but if it does, you know, open up a little bit and give you a little bit more to do, more traditional kind of like Final Fantasy exploration type stuff, I think it has potential to be really good. Just this was not the best demo I've ever played of something. But at least I don't have to replay it because it does save and it will transfer to the main game. So.
Well, some of it.
So where it ended for me was like, you know, this part of the story will continue. You can continue to play the demo and there's more stuff, but like there's specifically like the story piece of the demo ends at a point and that's what will transfer over. There's some cool story stuff in there. I won't spoil any of it, but that to me is like the most interesting thing going on right now. And also this Clive guy is like, he's kind of like Jon Snow. He's kind of like the outcast of his family.
Does he keep succeeding even though he makes really, really bad decisions over and over and over again?
Well, I only got to play it for 2 hours. So he was, And most of it's in a flashback. When you start, he's like this brooding dude, and he's sitting outside of a campfire, and he's thinking back. And that's when you find out that he's the Archduke's son. And it goes through this kind of like this whole port when he goes on his first mission, and then he's at the castle, and they celebrate, and his dad dies. And so then it picks up. Where it ends there is where I guess the game will start for me. But he was not succeeding like Jon Snow in in this game. He was kind of a fuck up, but he kept fucking up. But he is that type of character where it's he is the main character of this game, and he is the black sheep of his family. Tony, you've been away all week.
Yeah.
So you did not play anything. Earl,
Diablo is the only thing I played.
Yeah. Earl, did you play anything this week?
Nothing new and exciting. More Halo Infinite. Fortnite's got a new season, but honestly, at this point, I'm sure it has Transformers stuff in a jungle setting, so yay. More Zelda. Nothing new. Nothing. Did I play it? No, nothing new.
You're playing the campaign in Infinite, right? Not the multiplayer.
So the new season started. Yeah.
Yeah, the new season started. They added infection mode.
Ooh.
And I believe they also added in a regular leveling system, like a rank system, like where you earn experience and your rank goes up, like every other Halo game.
Yeah.
Like, so that is in there now. So I might return to it and take a look at that. All right. Well, Earl, enjoy your vacation next week.
Yeah.
You're gonna miss out on Final Fantasy 16.
Oh man, it's so disappointing. I am so bummed. I'm probably the only nerd I know who took off the week for Final Fantasy. Not to pay it, but to avoid conversation about
to
it.
Avoid it. I may also, since that doesn't come out till Thursday, I think I'm going to get Alien Dark Descent. I think that's what it's called. Which is the, Aliens Dark Descent. It is the tactical Aliens game that comes out on Monday or Tuesday.
I didn't realize there was an Aliens game coming out. How? Okay, not how. It's a very popular franchise. It's a very popular brand. I'm just surprised at the number of games that it has.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of them.
There is. But then I also rewatched Alien Resurrection today. So, I mean, it's not like the bar for quality on the franchise is that high. So,
I like Alien Resurrection. It's really dumb.
Yes, it's very dumb. I don't mind three. It. I.
What was that, Jeff?
Better than 3.
Which version of 3?
Any version of 3. They all suck.
I also like 3.
But...
I think the director's producer's cut is slightly better. I think there's a bit more. I don't know. Like, I got to this. I get to the scene where she starts. Like, she's trying to make sexy eyes with the alien, and I'm like, oh, we're checking out now, aren't we? Like, yes, I know she's doing it to set it up, but it's still really creepy.
Yes. But speaking of aliens, Fede Alvarez, his movie is evidently going to come out next year. His Aliens film.
Oh, yeah.
New Aliens movie.
Man.
Yeah. Yes, Dark Descent is it's by Tony's favorite his favorite publisher, Focus Home Entertainment.
Oh God, no!
You know, it's also Jeff Keighley's favorite.
There's only friends.
Favorite publisher. I'm hoping that game is good. But we'll see next week. Jeff, say goodnight.
Diablo time.